This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, third hour, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, the Tiki and Tierney Studio. Rocket Mortgage, with you every step of the way, provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. Beautiful shot, west side of Manhattan. Traffic everywhere. If you can actually get to Chelsea Piers, nice place to hit balls. Problem is you can't get there. But if you're with us around the country, hopefully your Tuesday's going great. 140-plus affiliates. Of course, simulcast daily here on the CBS Sports Network, 24-hour home of CBS. All right, so yesterday, the Mets situation, which bled in from Sunday when, you know, Mickey Callaway, for whatever reason, did not make a pitching change. Three-run bomb served up. Mets lose the game. Mets lose the game. They really needed to win, by the way. That was a really important game for them. So, Mets fans are up in arms, rightfully so. And then the fallout from the clubhouse confrontation with a writer for Newsday, Jason Vargas, Mickey Callaway. You know what is amazing? Just as a quick aside, you can't help but notice the difference. And I said yesterday, as I actually got into the Mets situation, and I don't want to say I defended Mickey Callaway, but I thought I provided some proper context. I just think now it's going to be a little different as I get to it today. But so what? He cursed out a reporter. Big deal. You know, Billy Martin punched somebody. I don't condone that, but I mean, it's a clubhouse. It's baseball. It's grown men. It's not a woman. It's not a child. Big deal. Big damn deal. Get over it. So I didn't think it was a big deal. But you can't notice the difference. Like, in the same city, and I said this yesterday, some teams are inherently well-run, crisp, forward-thinking, great acumen, great judgment. And then others are the opposite. And the Mets fall into the others category way too often. And their fans deserve so much better. They deserve. Mets fans are great. I always mess around with them on Twitter. You know, little brother or stepbrother. The Mets fans are terrific. But you think about, they've been handed this gift by the name of Pete Alonso, who is like Paul Bunyan, who's going to hit 50-something home runs this year. And Jeff McNeil, who somehow is a combination of Ty Cobb and Tony Gwynn and Wade Boggs, is going to hit 340. And even with that, the Mets' run differential is minus 27. That's just despicably bad. And their record is 37-42. Now, contrast that. By the way, 37-42 in a division where the Marlins gift wrap wins. I mean, the Nationals are weaker because Bryce Harper's no longer there. You know, I mean, come on. It's just, oh, God. Then look at the Yankees, who have had anything that could possibly go wrong has gone wrong for them. Aaron Judge just got back. Aaron Judge has played 23 games this season. Giancarlo Stanton has played 8. Hit his first home run last night. By the way, a missile. The exit velo was like 111. It went 450 feet. That ball was out before you blinked. Get ready, baseball, because that's what you're going to get this summer. The Yankees, now that they're healthy, their run differential is plus 95. Without their starting right fielder, without their starting left fielder, without their shortstop, who just got back from Tommy John surgery, and Didi is a... People don't think Didi's a masher. Didi's kind of a subtle masher. He works that hook around the right field foul pole as well as anybody I've seen. Oh boy, in terms of the, I know the older fans say Oscar Gamble was very adept at this a little bit before my time, but I saw a borrow a line from somebody I heard locally. It may have been Francesa. I think he said Gamble, but in terms of anybody that I've seen, I mean, that's what DD does. They had nobody. Third baseman, you know, Andujar, 50 doubles last year, done for the season, you know. The first baseman that they've been waiting on forever, Greg Bird, prodigious power, played 10, he's out, he doesn't even play, he's hurt. So, the Yankees are rolling, the Mets are drowning. Really nothing new in New York. What is a little new, at least for this regime, this manager, is controversy. You know, Bobby V had his moments with the disguise, Jeff Torborg with the bleach and that mess of a team, Art Howe falling asleep in the dugout. These are all things I said yesterday, but now I need to connect the dots because yesterday I thought I was fairly measured, and I kind of pulled back and said, you know what? Again, big deal. Vargas didn't punch the reporter, thank God. Didn't even push him. All right, so there was the beginning of a minor fracas. Oh, whoa, oh no. The manager said a bad word. He's morally corrupt. We can't have that. I kind of excused him. Say you're sorry if you want to. If you don't, no big deal. Move on. But what you can't do is exactly what he did. Come out. And I still think Mickey's a good guy, but it's painfully obvious. He's not even managing this team, and we'll get to that part of the story in a second. Nor is he really equipped now to deal with the New York media. Because you come out and you refuse to apologize, and that's fine. I don't think you did anything so dastardly that you needed to. But then you shuffle your feet, what is it, an hour later? And you come out, I'm sorry. It looks so weak. So pathetic. And the next step for that guy is the firing line. It's only a matter of time. Going to be gone. Mark my words. All right, let's first play this for you. Here's Mickey playing a little chicken with the usage of the word, I'm sorry, or an apology.
I hope people can understand that this is a tough game played by passionate competitors. And I hope moving forward that we can all do our jobs honestly, critically. And understand that other people are involved.
Okay, so the day starts Sunday with the flare-up. Then we get to the non-apology. Really, at that point, again, I was prepared to just kind of look the other way. Not a big deal. Ain't done. Here go. Hey, act two, take two. Mickey Callaway, the apology.
I got some feedback that I wanted you guys to know that in my meeting with Tim, I apologize for my reaction. I shouldn't. I regret it. I regret the distraction it's caused to the team. Like I said earlier, it's something that we'll learn from. So, you know, it's something I'm not proud of. I'm not proud of the distraction.
Stop,
I'm not proud of what I did to Tim.
Not proud of it.
So, you know, for that, I'm definitely sorry.
I mean, that's just, first of all, it's way over the top. I'm not proud of it. That's pathetic. I got to tell you, and I really almost don't want to say this, but you know me and you know that I will. I lost respect for Mickey Callaway right there. I lost respect. I'm not going to defend him anymore. Lost respect for him. He is trying to now placate people and appease people, and he's trying to win back the court of public opinion, which he's never going to do because every Met fan already formulated their opinion on him, and they think he stinks. But now we get another curveball, Act Three. Get your playbill, folks. We'll have a 20-minute intermission. Now we have the comedic part of the Mets play. And this is Brody Van Wagenen, their GM, former agent, who has you can't make this, only the Mets, you really can't make this up, is now telling us, like we believe him, that he is not managing from the couch, as was the claims that were directed and dropped at Mickey's doorstep. So you got the Sunday flare-up, you've got the non-apology, you've got the apology, which was pathetic and way over the top, and now you got the GM lying to our faces.
It's not true. No in-game decisions are ever called down from the dugout. We're not allowed to communicate with Mickey or his coaching staff during the games, and we're not doing that.
This goes back to the situation where what he was directly referencing, where the claim came out that he actually called the dugout and demanded, instructed, whatever word, Mickey to remove Jacob DeGrom from a game earlier. I mean, this is just, they're a joke. They are just, they're the worst. Yes, Michael.
I mean, part of it is Van Wagenen is the former agent for DeGrom. And so he's like looking at him almost like in an agent's eyes, like, I don't want to hurt the client, even though he just signed this big deal.
Well, that's the wrong eye. Now he's got to look at it through the GM eyes, who just gave him a 5-year deal for a lot of money.
So nonsense.
I mean, you got to look at, that's the only thing that matters right now.
Now, it's one thing if you're telling him, like, put this guy and he's better against righties versus this pitcher.
But how
or whatever.
Do we know he's not doing that? if he feels empowered to pick up the phone and tell Mickey to pull DeGrom, you don't think he's inserting his opinions / demands elsewhere? The answer is he is.
So the question is, if it comes to an injury, right?
Yeah.
If the GM has to look at the bigger picture.
No, the medical team has to look at the picture, and then the GM needs to decipher from, you know, based on whatever the medical team tells. They need jointly. See, that's the thing. They need to be on the same page.
Right, but if the medical team told him, like, listen, his hip is an issue. If you see it locking up, like, just be wary of him. He might not want to come out, but just... So maybe he's aware that his hip is an issue.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that he is, but you got to tell Mickey that. First of all, Brody,
but if Mickey doesn't notice
the game,
but if Mickey doesn't notice and Brody does, and you're still trying to protect your player,
yep.
Is it? I mean, again, it's an injury situation. It's not like, hey, this guy's a better hitter in this ballpark on this whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like a strategic thing. It's more of a health issue.
If you believe, I hear what you're saying. If you believe that it's just limited to the health issue, which I'm not inclined to believe. And by the way, he just overtly said it's not illegal. Is not the right word. It's not a crime, but. Based on baseball's bylaws, you can't communicate with the dugout. So even if he did that and it was just a medical issue, then he's still wrong. I mean, they are just the worst, man.
Well, the other question I had, and I asked you this earlier before the show started. So, like, in Callaway's situation with his press conference, right?
Which one?
The first one.
Go ahead.
Right? He goes through the whole press conference without actually saying I'm sorry or apologizing.
Yep.
Or saying that he had apologized to Healy. Which is why he called the impromptu second one to do it. So what's worse? The PR staff not imploring him, hey, you have to make sure you apologize to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Callaway knowing that he has to apologize and forgetting, or Callaway knowing that he has to apologize and just being too stubborn to actually want to do it, which forces him to call this. So what's worse of those three? The PR staff not reminding him,
no,
and telling
I know what
him?
You're saying.
Not being too stubborn, or being too stubborn,
yep.
Or just not remembering.
I think they all blend into one sloppy mess, is what I think. Because you would not see this with the Warriors. You would not see this with the Yankees, with Cashman. Now, Cashman might acquire the wrong person. Cashman might sign the wrong free agent. But you're not going to see this mess. So, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, I know a lot of the people at SNY, they're good people. Really, they really are. You see the SNY logo over Mickey's shoulder. But they are strapped with a team that, once again, incompetent. I mean, Robinson, I don't even have time to get into this. Robinson Cano has, 5 years left on his deal? Think about this. Robinson Cano has, I don't know, 15 RBIs? So the Mets said, yeah, you know, this makes sense. Let's get Robinson Cano, who's coming off a PED suspension, who has a horrendous contract that's an albatross. Let's go get him. Let's acquire him. That's a smart, savvy, sound move. That's a fundamentally sound move. I just don't know, and I give him a world of credit. Again, even though I like to needle him, it's all coming from a good place, but... So my dad's an old Dodger fan, National League fan, Mets fan. Used to go to the Mets camps. Like, I really have nothing against the Mets fans, except we need to put them in their place and let them know who's number two in New York, and it's them. But they deserve so much better than this. Similar to Knicks fans. Really, and, it, you know, there's really not – I don't know, Mike, there's not an apathetic fan base in New York. I mean, listen, when the Islanders – that's unfair to the Islanders. No, even when they're completely – horrendous. Islander fans would still go to the Coliseum. Barclays a little different dynamic, obviously. Not great sight lines, whatever. I guess there could be a little... There was apathy with the Nets in New Jersey, for sure. And the Nets are gradually building that fan base. But, you know, the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, obviously the Knicks. You know, that's one thing about these fan bases. They're in. They are in. And Met fans are every single season... During the free agent hot stove, when they don't get who they wanted, they're tormented. During the season, they're tormented. It's just a cycle. And as a Knicks fan, I know what you're going through, so I'm not going to keep adding on it now. But you know your situation's pretty messy. And yesterday was just, I mean, choose one side. Apologize or don't, but you can't have it both ways. That was weak. It was weak. All right, John Harper covers the Mets. John is with SNY, longtime writer for the Daily News. Great dude. Great baseball guy. I've known John for a while. We'll get him up, and we'll make sense of this latest Mets disaster. What a disaster. Beningo. Oh, he must have been on fire today. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So, what's next for the Mets? Let's get to this. I mean, this is ridiculous. John Harper, I love this guy. Great baseball guy. MLB analyst for SNY here in New York City. John, it's been a little bit. How you doing, bro? You good?
Hey, BT. Haven't seen you in a while. How are you?
It has been a while. How are you? Okay?
Yeah, good, good. Over here now, getting ready to do a little TV, you know?
Oh, ooh, okay. That's always the nice, delicate battle when you work for SNY and you got to go on the air and bury the Mets. Trust me, yes, I know that line well.
Yes, the antennas are raised around here right now.
I hear you. I could imagine. So there's the initial – I want to hit this almost in four parts. The initial flare-up. Now, you're an old-school guy like me, a little bit older, but not that different in terms of generation. You played college baseball. I would think that you didn't think that the initial – forget about Vargas for a moment. Mickey Callaway dropping a few F-bombs. My response was, big deal. Are you with me on that?
Pretty much, although ordering a guy out of the clubhouse is something I have never seen a manager do try and do to somebody.
Yeah.
That's a little bit much. But, yeah. But, see, that's where I think if you just say you're sorry, it goes away. You know, when the next day you say, hey, I lost my temper, you know, and I talk to the guy, sorry, it's over. Like, by doubling down and basically saying, the tough competitor and Billy Martin slugged the sports writer. I mean, now you extend the story and you make it worse. It just seems to happen with the Mets like that a lot.
Always does. Now, after that little, you know, verbal flare-up, it almost got physical with Jason Vargas. You know, there's a couple of ways to interpret that. First of all, Vargas needs to relax. I think we all know that. I mean, relax. You're not going to beat up a...
Jason Vargas.
That's a good summation. But I wonder, just to be fair to the Mets, and because I've been destroying them for the last 20 minutes, is there a chance that Vargas was representing a voice of the clubhouse and that shines favorably on how the players view Mickey, that Vargas basically had his back?
I think that's going a little too far.
Okay.
I think that's the guy who kind of senses, look, these players will take an opportunity to get in the face of media if they sense there's that opening, you know. But I don't think it would represent clubhouse-wide support of Callaway in any way. I think this is a guy who just decided, hey, I'm gonna stick up for some. I don't even know if he's sticking up for the manager. They didn't like that Healy was the guy, Tim Healy, the reporter, had become the object of all this stuff in the clubhouse.
Okay, now do you know Tim at all?
I know him a little bit, yeah, and he certainly doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would have made a sarcastic remark. I did hear the post game though that day, and he was the guy who asked Callaway, would you be allowed to use Diaz for more than four outs if you wanted to, which is basically saying to the manager, hey, you know, we know you don't have any power, so I'm going to ask you this question to kind of embarrass you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way Callaway took it, and I'm sure that's where that whole thing stemmed from.
Okay, now you've been doing TV I'm going back to when I was at SNY. You've been on the tube for a while, but at your core, you're a journalist, you're a reporter, you've been pursuing stories, daily news for decades, and you're very good at it. Do you believe that was an out-of-bounds question, even if there was an inference that he was kind of a puppet? Do you think that that's something that should not be asked in that manner?
No. It's fair. It's fair game.
I agree.
If you're a manager, look, you may not like it, but you have to be able to control yourself, especially with everything that's going on around this team. You can't do what you did because it shows, you know, you don't have control of the situation, and there's so much in question about whether Callaway can handle the job of manager, especially in New York, to begin with. Now you're just setting yourself up to be, you know, to be basically look like you can't handle all this, especially when the pressure's on.
Yeah, we're talking to John Harper, MLB analyst for SNY, long time with the Daily News. You know, and I joked on the air yesterday, I said, John, I said, hey, listen, Jason Vargas is lucky, you say, our buddy Wally Matthews wasn't the reporter. Wally would have taken him up on the offer, right?
Wally has a little boxing background. He likes that. He wants a guy to come at him once in a while.
Tough as nails.
Like, remember Will McDonough back in the day?
I do.
Patriots locker room. Yeah.
I do. Yeah, no, Wally's
got... Truthfully, most of us are very uncomfortable being in that position.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to be the story.
You don't want to be the story. There's no... And you don't... Especially when you're being completely wronged. You know, it's one thing if you're partially at fault or fully at fault. And I don't really, I don't think that there was any malice on the part of Tim Healy. I don't know him.
I don't think so either.
Okay. I've leaned on people like you and those who know him to kind of formulate that opinion. All right, now let's get back. So we've got the initial flare-up, the non-apology, then the apology, which for me is the ultimate death nail. Mickey Callaway's now officially done because that was, and I defended Mickey yesterday based on, you know, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Big deal. He cursed somebody. Okay, whatever. It wasn't a woman. It wasn't a child. We can move on and we can come tomorrow and do our job. That was so pathetic and that was so weak. I don't think he could ever gain the respect back fully in the court of public opinion in New York. Do you agree with that?
Well, that's, if you're going to double down and say, you know, what he was pretty defiant about it, that, you know, he wasn't apologizing. Okay, now you obviously got yelled at by someone, one of your bosses, and you're going to come back and basically say, hey, I meant to let everybody know that I did apologize. Yeah, now to me, now you look weaker than you did in the first place. And, you know, there's been some speculation that Mickey wants to get fired at this point. But to me, if you want to get fired, then just tell him, no, I'm not apologizing, and you go from there. But it does cut his legs out as far as the clubhouse, no doubt about it. Because now the players, if they had any question about how much authority he has, they see that, look, this guy capitulates, and he's going to do whatever the bosses tell him to do. And we know how baseball is run these days anyway. The manager doesn't have near the power he used to. So it becomes a problem in the clubhouse, I think.
Yeah. Where are we with Brody Van Wagenen? I mean, what is I know it's a real projection, and in baseball and in New York, you never know. Shelf life. It doesn't seem like he has a long shelf life based on his personality and his desire to be in the middle of a lot of stories. Is that a fair read, or is that not accurate? How do you see him so far?
You know, well, the thing is, look, yeah, I mean, he's got a ton to prove. Every move he made basically in the winter has backfired on him, starting with the Cano trade, which has just been become a disaster.
Yeah, I hit that.
But here's the thing, you know, Jeff Wilpon basically went out on a limb, convinced his father, Fred, this is the guy to do it. It's an outside-the-box hire, all that stuff. He wants it to work in the worst way. These guys were friendly even before this, so I think I don't think Brody's going anywhere, at least for a couple of years. I think they're going to give him a chance to turn it around, because even if the moves haven't worked, they do have a core of pretty nice young players, and you could see where if they made some of the right moves that this team still has a chance to be good. The bullpen's been a disaster. If the bullpen was even decent, I think this team would be above 500 and be somewhat in the mix. So
yeah.
I don't think Brody's going anywhere.
No, and I don't think he should. I'm just curious. You know, he's going to have to grow on the job and certainly get better at basically everything, to be blunt. But
yeah.
No, I'm not
trying. There's a lot of resentment around baseball because a lot of old-school baseball people, you know, didn't like the idea of an agent becoming a GM.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he came in, like, not knowing anything of what he's doing. These big agencies that he worked for, they all have analytics departments. They all have scouting departments. They're basically a mini franchise into themselves.
That's true.
I think his problem was he trusted his former clients like Cano and even Jed Lowry. He totally went against the grain of the trend in baseball, getting younger, 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 mm-hmm. brought in all these 30-plus-year-old guys who are getting hurt and can't produce. And he just, in that way, he does look like he wasn't reading the way baseball is going these days.
All right, I want to wrap it up with a positive here. John Harper, Major League Analyst for SNY. And listen, Alonso's a thumper. It's not illusion. It's not magic. It's not lucky. He hit a pitch over the weekend that I chronicled on Twitter, the home run to dead center. That was a perfect pitcher's pitch. It was on the outside shin guard. It was low. It was away. He was out in front. He kept his hands back, but he was obviously
off Hamels, the changeup off Hamels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got
fooled on it the first time up. The kid's a smart hitter.
I know he is.
He's a book on pitchers.
He makes adjustments.
He's the real thing, I think.
Who is he, though? Give us a somewhat modern comparison, because the rest of baseball, obviously I'm a national show, so I want to at least branch this out a little bit more, you know, all the different markets that watch the highlights and see Alonso thumping like a madman. Who is he as we project forward? Anybody come to mind?
Well, I've heard a couple names. Modern, it's not modern.
Go ahead.
Keith Hernandez compares him to Hillerman Killebrew, which goes back away.
Wow.
But that in body type, and you can see a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And I know some guys, DeRosa over at MLB Network, and they've compared him to Mark McGwire. McGuire's taller, a little lankier. He's a tough comparison because I don't remember seeing that many guys, that many sluggers, use the lower half the way he does. Man, he generates so much power from his legs, and he stays back and goes the other way. It's a hard comparison, but I mean, McGuire, I guess, is an obvious one just for the pure power.
Yeah, and the Harmon Killebrew. I mean, listen, I watch as much baseball as anybody. I don't think I've ever heard a modern day player compared to Harmon Killebrew. That's amazing.
Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting one because he wasn't a real big guy, tall guy.
Yeah, stout,
stocky,
thick. Yep.
He did use his legs a lot, so that is a pretty good one that Keith brought up.
Well, listen, John, it's been a while. It's really nice to reconnect. I appreciate you giving us some intel on the Mets here. I miss you guys over there. But it's been almost 10 years. But
it's been a while.
Right? Whoever's
more
still.
Wheelhouse.
Listen, we got an Emmy, man.
That's right.
We got an Emmy. Right. Got a little hardware out of that. Tell everybody who's there that when I was there, that's still there, tell them I said hi and good having you on the show. Thanks a lot, John.
I will. Great talking to you, BT.
Always a pleasure, man. Pure gentleman, great baseball man. John Harper, SNY, MLB analyst. You got to know Harper a little bit, right? Read him for years?
Yes.
Well, I mean, reading him at a.
Yes.
Just a great.
I remember when he first started
sensible,
on the beat.
Do you really?
88, I believe it was.
Now, what beat did he start on? Was it just a floater?
Bob Klapisch left the New York Post, and he took over for Bob Klapisch.
Did he really?
Yeah. And then
88.
He covered the Giants for a couple of years, too.
So he was there when Gibson was hobbling around on one wheel, the Dodgers beat the Mets in 88 when the Mets were obviously better, mm-hmm. that Mickey Hatcher team. And then he was there. The Yankees were still looking for pitching in 88. Okay, well, that's a long time ago. Wow.
I think he covered the Mets for a smaller paper in New York. Before going to the Post.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There you go. Let's get the update from Matt. Coming up, football at the 40s. Jalen Ramsey, a sign of maturity or maybe just a little fool's gold. We'll decipher in football at the 40s. Coming up after Axe update right now. Da-da-ba. All right, football at the 40s coming up here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, time for the player of the week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, DJ LeMahieu. What a pickup by the Yankees. How about that? The Mets pick up Robinson Cano. He's got 15 RBIs. The Yankees pick up DJ LeMahieu. He's basically their MVP. Former batting champ. Continues to rake. First year in the Bronx. Really, what a pickup. Extends his hit streak last night to 10. Bombers win, although the bullpen got a little sloppy. 10-8 over Toronto. Four hits last night. Moves him into sole possession of first in the American League. He's hitting .331, and he's on pace for over 200 hits this season. Really been a godsend for the Yankees. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Go to Granger.com. We'll get to football at the 40s in a minute. Yeah, I always knew he was good, always. And I knew he could pick it. Really good second baseman. A gamer, you know, very good bat control, you know, knows the strike zone, foul pole to foul pole. Going to put it in play hard. Going to square it up most of the time. But you never know. I know it's not quite the same as it was, you know, years ago in Colorado. You know, the balls are obviously treated differently. So they've kind of minimized the effects of the altitude a bit. But, you know, you always wonder, what's, you know, so-and-so going to be away from Coors Field? I mean, he's just a professional hitter. He really is. He's been so good. All right, Mike, you are, I got to be honest, you surprised me a little bit here. Two duties. No stumbles. Zero. None.
Listen, man, I practice at home. I stare into the mirror, talk to the fiance, kind of get her involved.
Get her involved?
Yeah. You know, anytime I see large crowds of people, I try to stand up and practice my craft, mm-hmm. work my demo.
I used to work with a guy, I'm not going to say his name, but the oddest thing. It works for him, and he's got a good set of pipes, so it's not a big deal. And he's a good dude, but I'm not making fun of him. But it is kind of weird to see this when you're actually disconcerting. He would stick a wine cork in his mouth, right? This is true, and he was my update guy for years. And you know, I'd be doing my segment. I, at the corner of my eye, I could see him with this thing sticking out of his mouth, and he's enunciating all the letters in the alphabet. I'm like, come on, that's a little much. I mean, we're not going to front, we're not delivering a commencement speech. We're giving an update. We're giving scores.
How now, brown cow? Unique New York.
Yeah, no, there's ways
to
get
the Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
Wow.
These are all very important enunciation techniques.
Well, how come you're not on the air if you know all these techniques?
Yeah, Will Ferrell and Anchorman taught me all that.
I understand that. But He would never deviate from it, and he would do it all the time. And it just looked so weird, but it was effective. All right, football at the 40s. Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Football at the 40 is brought to you by Fidelity Investment. Fees matter. At Fidelity, you'll know what you're paying and why. Visit fidelity.com/value to invest with zero trade-offs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, NYSESIPC. Go get it, Mike. What do we have?
Well, we've been talking a lot about Kansas City and Andy Reid. Another situation that kind of brought this whole thing to a head was the Tyreek Hill investigation about child abuse.
Yep.
And now it seems like he's going to meet with the NFL tomorrow. So we'll probably have a decision about Tyreek Hill by the end of this week, maybe next week, about what's going to happen with him suspension-wise. Obviously, all the charges were dropped.
Mm-hmm.
The investigation was dropped. The investigators believe a crime was probably committed, but they can't distinctly say it was.
No, he's going to get suspended. It's just a matter of how many games is he going to get suspended for.
Now,
he's definitely going to get suspended.
At the end of the day, if all this stuff was dropped, and the only evidence that we have of anything really is just some tape of him talking to his ex-girlfriend, is this really something you have to suspend him for? I mean, everything was dropped. They said that, you know, maybe the kid hurt himself. They don't know.
Well,
it's interesting.
It is interesting. I will leave this, you know, Amy Dash, our good friend here at the network and great legal counsel. She's terrific. Amy tweeted this a couple hours ago. Tyreek Hill is guaranteed at least a 4-game suspension right now just based on the audio recording alone and league precedent. So, you know, that's partially where I come to my conclusion. You know, Amy's very good with this stuff. But also, you know, it just sounded so bad. I understand that it's a dangerous, slippery slope to start handing out suspensions for conversations. But sometimes you're able to connect A, B, and C. And, you know, even if it's not linear, if it's, you know, something over here and something over there and something over here, and it equates to something that we don't like, he's going to get suspended. I don't know that it's 6. 4 is a good starting point, I would think. But, I mean, he's a step away from being out of the league. He's got to clean himself up. He's got to prove now that he's not the person that we heard on tape. And when Teague and I interviewed him, he came across, we enjoyed him. Seemed pretty pleasant. Seemed like he had things in order. We had him on the show at the Super Bowl. I was actually a little surprised at that because we kind of talked about some missteps in his past, and he was pretty forward about it. And, you know, but he's got to be better, and he's going to be suspended. So he's going to have some time to think about it.
And just real quick, an update of the conversation we were having before about the radio host, Kevin Keatsman, who said those things about Andy Reid. Well, it turns out that Union Broadcasting, which owns the station, has taken him off the air until further notice. So today there were guest hosts in, and I guess they will determine how to properly punish him. But for now, he is not on the air. And he is a part owner of the station.
Yeah, that does obviously complicate things. If he wasn't a part owner, they probably would have acted differently. Listen, you're going to want to listen to this segment. Go to TikiandTierney.com, radio.com, YouTube. This is going to be all over. I mean, I really aired it out about this. I got deep. I don't have time to reset my whole position now. So you're going to want to check that out. But I would add to that, based on the news that Mike just gave us, as much as I don't want to say defended him, but positioned it as something that I need to see develop and try to instill upon everybody, let's tap the brakes, let's put down the pitchforks, let's get a little clarity here. I'm fine with the suspension. What I didn't want, and then we go through the process, see what Andy Reid, how he reacts, see how contrite the gentleman is during the process here. Let him figure it out. And if they feel as if he can't work there anymore, then that's their decision. But I do. It's a temporary respite. Let the flames come down. Let the ire, you know, dissipate. Cooler heads prevail. And whatever decision they come to, I'll respect it. But I have no problem with the suspension. I didn't want to see an immediate termination. That's what I didn't want to see without this thing playing out a bit.
Well, Jalen Ramsey's known to run his mouth a little bit. Last year we saw him ripping Matt Ryan, calling him overrated, calling Josh Allen trash, going after Joe Flacco. Well, yesterday he was talking with Adam Schefter on his podcast and basically just said, you want to do this again, huh? I'm not going to do it again, but we do play some good quarterbacks this year. Of course, probably the quarterback I'm most excited for is Nick Foles. So obviously learned his lesson. Maybe he says he's growing up. He's learned a little bit. The question really is, do you think that Jalen Ramsey's grown up or he's just getting smart because it's a contract year for him?
I don't think he needs to. Listen, there's certain positions in the NFL that as long as you're not, you know, committing crimes, it doesn't matter what you say. And quarterback is at the top of that list. I mean, that's part of your DNA. You're on an island with, you know, a lot of times 6'3", 212-pound athletes that run 4.4 40s that you are assigned to stop in front of 80,000 people. And if you don't do your job, you will get roasted and burned, and the entire stadium will see the back of your jersey. So I don't think he needs to change the narrative. He just needs to be Jalen Ramsey, stay healthy, ball out. And if the Jaguars don't want to pay him, there will be 10 to 12 to 15 teams in line. However many teams have salary cap space, that is the market for him. He's a star.
We've been discussing Michael Thomas and the New Orleans Saints discussing a new contract. Obviously, he's going to get paid. He's had an incredible start to his season, but apparently he's looking for a deal that's going to pay him close to $22 million per. Is he that good?
Well, now this is something that Tiki always factors in, and I think it's paramount that you do. $22 million when you incorporate the bump in salary cap. So, again, $22 million for a wide receiver today compared to, like, last year's setup. It's like, well, that's a little aggressive, a little high, maybe a little bit reckless. But when you tack on the extra $12 to $15 million to the salary cap, in essence, 22 becomes 15 or 16 if we're working on last year's numbers, you know, commensurate with the percentage of the cap. So, yeah, it seems a little high, but this guy, he's, you know what, he might be the best. He might be. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say DeAndre Hopkins first. We always say him last. We always rifle through Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones, Michael Thomas. Oh, yeah, that's DeAndre Hopkins. I said Hopkins first today because he is that good. And he might be the best. I think A.J. Green's got a little something to prove. I think he's dropped a tick based on health and a little attrition. He's just been around for a while. He's been banged up, and it's a foot, which is not good for a receiver. Michael Thomas is great, and if the Saints don't want him, again, like Jalen Ramsey, a lot of other teams will. He's getting paid, and he's going to get paid north of 20.
And just to addend that, Odell Beckham is the highest paid receiver right now at $18 million per.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of wide receivers.
Does that count as a mistake, or is that, we'll count that as a mistake.
Well, I mean, like this one, I'm not reading anything. I'm just kind of speaking. So,
but that's,
you know,
even worse. You gave wrong
bit.
Facts. You gave incorrect facts. So that's probably worse. I think a stumble would probably be, I think our audience would appreciate a stumble more so than being misled by the erroneous information you just fed the nation.
What's the erroneous information?
Why'd you just correct yourself then? You just went back to Odell.
No. I didn't correct myself on the.
No, Odell. Odell's numbers.
Yeah, Odell, yeah, 18.
Exactly.
No, I stumbled on speaking, not on the number.
So then why'd you go back to it?
Go back to what?
I don't know. What's going on?
I don't know who you are. Who is? No, what I was going to say was the next topic moving on was more wide receiver news.
Gotcha.
Amari Cooper. He's also going to be looking for a new contract soon. Obviously,
and he's going to get it.
Yes, and the Cowboys are dealing right now with Dak Prescott. They have other contract situations to worry about.
Yep.
Amari Cooper is one of them, but when asked on a national radio show whether or not he wants to be the highest paid wideout in the league, he said, not now. Definitely looking forward to earning that respect.
Stumbles
and looking forward to coming into it this year and putting those numbers for my team and showing what I can do in a full season as a Cowboy.
Okay.
So it seems like he's maybe aware that he'll get a good number,
but
he's not going to get a, you know, best
I got
receiver in the league number.
Well, he's aware of his place in the NFL. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't ascend to the top five, but right now he's not a top five wide receiver. He's on the outside looking in, and Dallas will take care of him. And you saw what happened to Dak when he got there. His first touchdown was incredible, if you remember that move. And Amari Cooper makes the Dallas Cowboys a lot better, and he makes the Dallas Cowboys, if healthy, a threat to get to the Super Bowl. So I love his outlook. It's refreshing, and I think it's accurate. I like it.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
D-Cell. You see how easy I got in his head? I challenged him once. He made five mistakes. He didn't make mistakes for 2 days.
The show's ending in 10 seconds.
You're lucky.
I was long.
Probably have 5 more, 10 more mistakes out of you. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.